This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Good afternoon, and thank you for tuning into WRFL Lexington. It's 3 o'clock, and you're listening to Green Talks, where we explore the people and projects that are using the Environmental Stewardship Fee to promote sustainability in the UK community. I'm your host, Sophie Bevan, and I'm the current Director of Outreach for the Student Sustainability Council. The funding for the projects featured on our show come from the Environmental Stewardship Fee, a $4 fee that all UK students pay along with tuition each semester. The ESF, which is expected to generate approximately $190,000 by the end of the school year, is distributed by the Student Sustainability Council, hereafter the SSC, for various projects that enhance the culture of sustainability here at UK. This week, I'm joined by Dr. Carmen Agaritas, and she is a professor in the Department of Biosystems Engineering here at UK. And she is one of the project leaders for the upcoming stream restoration project that will take place along Alumni Drive. So, Carmen, thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for taking time. So just as an overview, what is stream restoration and why is it used?
So stream restoration is where we take a stream and that has been impacted, and it can be impacted because of agriculture, it can be impacted because of urban development, or in Kentucky, sometimes we see impacts from mining as well. And it looks to return that form or the shape of the stream that's healthy, but also its functions, because streams do a lot of things for us. Besides moving water, they move sediment, but they also are habitats. They're home to things that live in the stream. So there will be aquatic bugs or little creatures that live in the stream. We have fish. You see salamanders, turtles, and things like that. So stream restoration really says, how do I put the stream back in shape, and how do I make it work again? And how can I make it useful for people? So, you know, if people like to fish in streams, they like to boat in larger streams, sometimes just even looking at them is something we value as well.
Yeah, awesome. And so how do you, like, what is the process to implement this? Because this sounds like a really large scale thing, and I have honestly no idea where you even start with that.
Yeah, so stream restoration projects are very interdisciplinary. So it's a project that takes a lot of different backgrounds to make it go from start all the way to finish. So for this project, we first identified a need and said, well, is there a stream? There is one on campus. It is not in the best form and function. And yeah. So what can we do to help make it better? So that's the first part we want to do. And then we talk to the stakeholders, so people who are around the project and may have an interest in it. And those go from students, faculty, and staff, but also where's the land at? In this case, athletics is nearby, the arboretum's nearby, and then there's also a community, homes that are nearby as well. From that point, we say, how do we fund this project and make it happen? At that point, we start looking around and saying, what are different potential funding sources that would help us implement the project and what our goals are for that project? And then as we're doing that, we're also then thinking about what the design might look like. Because the more complicated you make it, the more it's going to cost to do that design.
That makes sense.
And then we have to look for things like utilities, because we don't hopefully want to move utilities. That's very expensive to do. And at that point, you will design it, and then you go through a process where you will also bid out for construction. So somebody to come in with the earth-moving equipment and things of that nature. In this case, we also want a lot of student involvement, so we'll have students involved hopefully throughout the entire process of it. And then once it's built, we go through a monitoring phase. And one thing I didn't also mention is permitting. So because we're moving a body of water that's part of the U.S. waters, okay. We have to go through local, state, and federal permitting before we can even implement this project.
Wow, man. So that sounds like a really long time frame that you're working with.
It's a lot of time frame. And then because on this project, the last thing once you get it built is you got to put vegetation down.
And then
plant the vegetation and monitor it and see how it grows. And then, you know, that will usually require a little bit of maintenance as well.
Yeah. So just like specifically the one that will take place on campus, like where exactly is it located? And also what is the stream that will be restored?
Sure. So on campus, if you go near the softball complex where the soccer and softball field are at, across from the Arboretum, you know, it's right along Alumni, there's a little stream that takes drainage from that area. So we have a lot of springs around campus because of our karst geology. So our surface and groundwater are really connected. And that water flows from that softball area, and it flows towards the Tate's Creek alumni area, and that is actually flowing towards a watershed called West Hickman. It's West Hickman okay. Creek. The stream that was recently restored on campus, that was done in 2015, that is closer towards the football stadium and Nicholsville Road, that's actually Vaughn's Branch, and it flows into a different watershed. It flows okay. into Wolf Run watershed. So they're
going two different places.
Two different places.
Yeah. So is your approach to this one different than your approach to the other stream just because they go to different watersheds, or is it mostly like the same?
Well, the approaches are different. The how you do a restoration project, that approach is somewhat similar. The motivations for doing the project and the funding were different.
Okay.
So the project that was done along Alumni near the football stadium, that was actually generated because of FEMA, so Flood Emergency Management Association. We're probably more familiar okay. with that nowadays because of yeah. the hurricanes that have happened.
Yeah, definitely.
But FEMA also addresses other natural disasters, like when we have the ice storms and things of that nature.
Okay.
So in around 2006, I believe, 2008, a couple of students from UK drowned down there. At yeah. the time, there was a flood that happened, and the students got, unfortunately, caught into the floodwaters and pulled underneath a culvert that actually mm-hmm. goes underneath Nicholsville Road. So UK wanted to do something about how do we better manage the floodwaters that come off of, you know, our parking lots and football stadiums and things of that nature, and looked at this as an opportunity as well.
Yeah.
And so we were able to work with Capital Project Management, so those are the people that do the buildings and major things on campus, and work with FEMA and a lot of different agencies to develop a restoration project down that way.
Okay. And so with this upcoming one along Alumni Drive, what is the timeline for it? Like, has it started, or what is it looking like right now?
So it has not started. We got notification from LFUCG, so Lexington Fayette Urban County Government. They have a stormwater stormwater quality grants program that's collected off of incentive fees that the city has. And so we got a notification that the Water Quality Board approved our project. And so right now there's going to be a lot of paperwork that goes back and forth between okay. the city and UK to
yeah.
come to an agreement on, you know, how funds are going to be done and so forth.
Understandable.
Yes, and so that takes a little while. So hopefully that'll be settled around February.
Okay.
At that time, then I'll work with Capital Project Management, and we'll come up with what we call an RFP, or Request for Proposal.
Okay.
And the idea then is to have a design build team work with us at UK to come up and with a plan to design and build the project. And this is where
okay.
we'd really like to have student input on what could the design look like, everything from the more engineering aspects of it to, well, what are research opportunities? What are mm-hmm. opportunities for other classes? What are education opportunities? How can we use this for outdoor classroom learning environment and things like that? And then the hope would be, once we start getting that design going, we have to go through the permitting process.
Yeah.
And that, if we're lucky, will take no more than 3 months.
Okay.
It takes a little bit of time. And so I'll work on helping with the design teams and stuff to get the permitting done. And at that point, if everything works well, Mother Nature cooperates with the rain, we
yeah.
hopefully can potentially see construction going on this summer.
Okay.
And then if we start going through the summer and fall, it's a great time to plant grass, not a great time for trees. So
yeah.
we probably wouldn't look at tree planting until that winter or early spring.
Okay. And so will this be part of your spring semester course, or will it be more of like the following year?
Well, probably both. So when I do my class, so I teach a class, it's BAE 532, or cross-listed with civil engineering, is 542. It's Introduction to Stream Restoration. And in that class, we get outside a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to go to streams that are impaired, which this will be this
yeah.
spring. And so it's a good opportunity to go say, how do we assess the stream, see what's going on with it, what are the problems, and what are the opportunities for restoring it?
Okay.
And then in the class, students get different streams where they will actually assess it, go out and measure, survey, and then come up with their own conceptual design plan that we will present
oh, awesome.
To outside individuals, either at the university or consultants or so forth, and they get feedback from that. once the project's restored, we also go to those kind of projects. So when the students start to do their design, they can look at different techniques and practice and say, that might be really applicable to the project I'm working on, or maybe it's not. So they get to see different flavors. It's kind of like when you want to do a home improvement at your house or anything else, you kind of look around to see what other people have done and how it's worked. We kind of do the same thing in stream restoration. Okay. We say, this is our problems, and then let's go look around and see what other people have also done to give us ideas on how we want our design to play out.
Awesome. And that's really cool that the students' designs will like possibly be presented to outside companies and sources. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I've actually had projects in the class that have gone on and been implemented.
Oh, really?
We had one out at Spindletop or our North Farm, where we had the class come up with a design. Then afterwards, I worked with the permitting, and then we had some other students involved in the actual construction of that. So that one went into place. And then we've also had students involved with a project at the Kentucky Horse Park, where they went and did an assessment, came up with some conceptual designs, and then a design build firm kind of took that over and modified some things and then put that in place as well.
That's awesome. So this obviously gives students a lot of great experience. So if they wanted to pursue something like this for career, like, what would that look like? Is it more of a private industry kind of thing? Or I'm just wondering, like, how, like, what that would look like.
It really depends on what your interests are.
Okay.
So I'll start first from an engineer standpoint, and then I can easily tell you it encompasses so many more disciplines than that.
So if I
did it from an engineer standpoint, I could work for a private firm. So there are private firms that will design these projects and implement them. But there are also people that help with the permitting process, the assessment, the funding. So, for instance, federal permits come from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
Okay.
So you're going to require individuals from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to go out and look at these sites and say, well, this is what they want to do. Does it make sense? Same thing with Kentucky Division of Water. So that gets into more the government side. But then you also have nonprofits that are also interested in doing this kind of work that are involved in doing restoration projects because they want to preserve or enhance the environment, or they also use them for outdoor education.
Okay.
And then you start looking at groups that supply the vegetation for these projects. So a lot of we use native species. So it requires education on what species will grow and what kind of, you know, soil conditions, how much water they have. You have biologists that can help advise. So, if, for instance, like the Wolf Creek Fish Hatchery down in Jamestown, Kentucky, they did a big stream creation restoration project for trout. So you need to really understand the life cycles of trout and how they need different kinds of environment, from when they're little eggs to fries to full-grown trout. So there's lots of that goes into place. And then there's also the policy side. So if you're interested more in that aspect of if we impact a stream, then we have to have a no net loss. So how do you design a mechanism to encourage people to minimize impacts of streams, but also encourage protection and restoration of ones that are impacted?
Wow, that's awesome. That's really cool how it includes so many different organization groups, disciplines.
It is. It's whatever. Pretty much if you've got an interest in waterways and the environment, I could probably hit a major around campus that in some way could be connected to that.
That's awesome, because I feel like sometimes people can get bogged down by like, well, I have to be in environmental or an engineering field, but it's like really can apply to basically anything.
It's a very applied discipline. And it's also one I really like because you can see the impact of your efforts when you walk away and know from generations afterwards that's something you did that's positive. And you can also really watch the project blossom. So we think about, you know, young children growing up to adults. Well, you can look at your projects once they're built and look at it from an infant stage all the way up to when it really gets mature and through your life cycle, watch how it changes and evolves.
Yeah, that's awesome. That sounds so satisfying.
Like, it is really very cool. Satisfying.
So we actually have to take a quick break, but we will be right back. Hello, and welcome back to Green Talks. I'm your host, Sophie, and today we're here with Dr. Carmen Agaritas to talk about the upcoming stream restoration project along Alumni Drive. So just to hop right back in, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the SSC's role in this project. And in the project proposal, it talked a lot about how the Student Sustainability Council was a catalyst for this project. So can you talk a bit about that and how that played out?
Sure. I wanted to start out by giving huge kudos to Shane Tedder, because this really would not have started without his prodding into it. So it was one of those aspects where at some point I talked to Shane and said, you know, it'd be really cool if we could do this. And Shane's like, well, here's how I think we could get it started.
Mm-hmm.
So the Student Sustainability Council gave us the funding that we were able to use for a substantial portion of the match that was required to get the grant funding to do this project.
Okay.
So a lot of grants, when you get them, they may require a match. So think of it as skin in the game. So if we say I want to do this project, then I need to come up with some way to say we're really serious about it and here's how. So we're going to match part of my time working on the project, but also the Student Sustainability Council, the funds that they were able to supply to us is a huge part of the match that we're having with it. So quite honestly, without that funding, I don't think this project would ever come to fruition.
That's awesome. That's really nice to hear, too, that that the SSE can play like such a huge role in these projects that like I didn't even think was possible. So that's really awesome to hear that. There's also like many other partners in this project, as I read also in the proposal. So can you talk about who they are and what their role is?
Sure. So as we mentioned, the stream restoration is a very interdisciplinary type project. And then if you think about the campus, there are so many different groups involved mm-hmm. with it, especially when we start getting out towards the south part of campus where this project's going to take place. So we already mentioned one, which was Shane. So Shane is our sustainability coordinator for UK. And the way I think of Shane is if you want to know anything about sustainability and UK, he's the person to go to.
Definitely.
So he's the one that also helps connect people and get the right people into the room. He was also, I think, very instrumental in helping us reach out across UK, but also outside to the community, who were some of the key players mm-hmm. that we needed to have involved and be aware of what was happening with the project, because it also requires external support. So other people outside the community saying, yeah, we're good with this project. We'd like to see it happen. The other people we have involved is also environmental management, specifically Kevin Lewis. So if you're not aware of on UK, we also have a permit to discharge stormwater. So all of our buildings, our parking lots, all those things, when it rains, it doesn't go through the asphalt. It's not going through the concrete, so it runs off somewhere. And as we mentioned, we have a couple streams that it goes to, but we also discharge through some other watersheds. So we get a permit from the state that says we can do that. We're going to do what we can to protect water quality and minimize impacts from that stormwater.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can imagine, our stream is involved in our stormwater on campus. So environmental management, specifically Kevin, are also going to be involved with how do we do things to enhance the quality of the water that leaves campus. So they're very concerned about that. And also, we're specifically, as part of our permit, required to do things we're doing for this project. Educate.
Yeah.
And also engage. So we want students and faculty and staff not to just be passive, but we also want them to be active in the project, to actually have a say in it and be involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to mention grounds, right? So we have a lot of land, and it's going to have to be maintained once we do this project. So we also were involved with George Riddle and also Jerry Hart. And those are two of individuals that do a lot with grounds on campus. So when we did the butterfly gardens on campus,
mm-hmm.
they are two individuals that we had very much involved with helping us pick out locations that would be okay, and also with maintenance. You know, so how does it get maintained, keeping people aware? So on UK, there's a big effort right now to work with grounds to do more what we consider sustainable management. And how do we handle native plants and native vegetation? Because it requires a little bit more work than just mowing.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Yes. And then obviously, as we mentioned before, the Student Sustainability Council is also, I consider, a partner with this as well. And then we're also working right now to involve we have an intern that's being paid, one of them through the Tracy Farmer Institute for Sustainability and the Environment, and another is being paid through environmental management. And they're also going to be working with me, not just on stormwater aspects on campus, but also with this project, going out to different faculty that we think have classes that could be taught in the spring or fall or whatnot, and position them to say, hey, you know, would your class be interested in being involved in this kind of project?
Yeah, to include this in the
course. Yeah, are there clubs that might be interested in being involved in this project? So that's some of the things that we have as for initial partners, but part of my role in this, besides helping with the permitting and the design, is also to try to bring all these different groups together towards a common vision.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask, like, what specifically your role was in this. Like, are you, like, the point person for, like, campus, or, like, what exactly is your role?
Right. So I will work with, when we start to develop, more the technical side. So when we start to develop the documents to go out to bid and get a contractor and so forth, I'll work with the design team and the contractors regarding a lot of the technical aspects. I'll also, because part of my role is extension or outreach, work with how do we engage the community that's around us, that this project's going on in their backyard, so how do we make them aware? And so another aspect is that if, when you drive on campus, coming from Tate's Creek, it's a main entrance into campus that you're going to see this go by. So how do we keep those people engaged? There's a great walking, running path. I go by that a lot on myself when I go by there. So how do we educate people that may be going by wondering, what are you doing down there? And what's that project like?
To let them know, like, really what's going on here.
And then talk with the different classes and to get different students and figure out, well, this student's interested. How do we get them involved? Or, for instance, we have a researcher in our department I've been talking with, and he's very much interested in streams and water quality issues. So how could we say, could we design ways that student research, undergraduate research projects might be able to go on out here, and students collect data and use that and learn from this long after this gets built?
Yeah, and I think that's awesome that it has so much community and student engagement, because I think it's different because it is on a college campus, that makes it a lot easier, but I think that's a really important part of this, that it really reaches out to a lot of different people and that they know what's going on and they can easily get involved.
And, I wholly encourage that. So if students are interested, whether or not they're in one of the classes that we're trying to get involved is directly where they say, you know, I'm just interested, I want to learn more, everything from, you know, like UK Horticultural Club that does native plants to, you know, I'm more interested in the education part, what could I do to be involved in this kind of project? Part of that is trying to get those different groups together and say, okay, well, these are the different phases we're going to be going through in the project. How can we start to plug people in, whether it be actual work they do or ideas that they have to help make that better?
That's awesome. So in your project proposal, you talked a lot about the triple bottom line of sustainability and how this applies. And I thought it was awesome. And for listeners out there who don't know what the triple bottom line is, it's how sustainability relates to environmental, social, and economic aspects. So I was wondering if you could touch on that with this project.
Yeah, so I don't remember every single word I wrote in the proposal, so I will come up. I'll try to paraphrase as best I can.
It doesn't have to be word for word.
So the environmental part, I think, is fairly obvious.
Yeah,
so we're going to improve the environment. We're going to create opportunities for additional habitat. So right now, if you go out to that stream, the bottom, for instance, is really flat. So if I am a creature living in the water, then I want pools, I want riffles, you know, water shallow, water was deep, fast, slow, all those kind of things. So habitat-wise, we can bring that back. We're also going to be bringing in enhancements to try to improve some of the water quality as well. So I think the environmental part is quite there. Social aspects of it is, I look to this saying, we're going to be adding in opportunities more for community use and community education.
Yeah.
So and we're not in an area that I would consider disadvantaged area as far as socioeconomics or anything like that, but it's something where I think we can integrate our students into the environment, make people aware as they go by. So I think that aspect, from a social aspect and awareness aspect, is fantastic, and getting people involved. Economic, there's obviously direct economic benefit to the people that do the work on there, but I think there's also a long-term economic benefit that may not all the time be obvious, and that is, if students are becoming educated and they're learning about these kind of things, it can help lead to careers that are going to be an economic benefit to them.
Yeah.
But also, as you do things to improve the environment, it becomes less costly as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I just really liked that part of the proposal, because I feel like sometimes the word sustainability, people get like really hung up on the environmental side, which the environmental side really does play a huge role in it, but also the social and economic side is also equally as important, because that's really holistic and that's what impacts like the people who are there working on it. And so just as like a final wrap up, what if you could just put the overall goal of this project and why like you really wanted this to happen?
Sure. I will give you my perspective, but okay. when I say this, I also keep in mind that different groups may have different goals and prioritizations. Yeah. So anytime yeah, we right. do these kind of projects, as you would expect, you know, people are different. They come from different viewpoints. One of the challenges from a design standpoint, implementation, is trying to coalesce those many goals. And occasionally you'll have competing goals, and so mm-hmm. that gets to be an interesting yeah. thing. For me, my interest foremost was doing something to help improve the habitat. So I would say that would be part of my big goal, is I want to do something that's going to improve water quality, because I'm very interested in more of a sustainable environment, because especially now that I'm a mother and I have children, I think mm-hmm. longer term like that.
Yeah.
The other thing I'm very interested in is in education and awareness.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested in how do we give our students meaningful experiences while we're at college? How do we get them out there and get hands-on? I learn best when I get to do things, when I get to experience things, and that probably relays into my philosophy on how yeah. I teach. But also I want our community to be aware, and it's not just people that get an opportunity to be in our classes here at UK, but mm-hmm. everybody that comes to visit UK, whether it yeah. come for the football game or just because they want to walk around campus, or they're bringing their children and they're touring it. I want them to be able to see that and be involved with it.
Yeah, awesome. That's really great. This project is really exciting for me. Like, I don't know, I think it's just really cool how large scale it is and how it really impacts just people all across the spectrum. So, yeah, thank you so much for coming on today. It's been great.
My pleasure.
So we just have a few closing announcements. Any member of the UK community can submit a proposal to the SSC, and that funding, once again, comes from the environmental stewardship fee. So if you have an idea for a project that will enhance the culture of sustainability on campus, we really encourage you to submit a project proposal. And those deadlines and also proposal applications can be found on our website, which is uky.edu/sustainability. And you can also stay up to date with us by following us on Instagram or liking us on Facebook. And so I'll be back next week to talk to a representative from the Urban Forestry Initiative to learn about their upcoming speaker series. Thanks for listening.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.